There we go. Yeah, now we're back online here. We apologize. The Ustreamers were still here, and some of the DBS people are here. And I got my two daughters with me today. You know, they were born in a pyramid. And they're going to explain what it felt like to take their first breath from the pyramid. Steve Barish will be joining us here soon. I got Bella Bird. Buddy's coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, hey kids, all you got to do is say hi there. Say hi to the audience out there in 174 countries.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, now these two daughters here, one is 50 and one is 90. You know, this is the 50-year-old behind me. She's been living in a pyramid, so the aging process is a little bit slow, which is good. But here's the camera. They're right here. Watch this. See, you can get right in there. If I can, I like that camera. Now it'll probably start snowing here in a little bit. Yeah, we can even move the camera over here where we don't get so much stuff on it. You know, maybe like that. How's that? Let me just find the right position. We're always experimenting on the air. We never do it off the air. That's no fun. Well, here comes the other sidekick. Yeah, you can hold that sidekick.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. Start covering up that window over there because
that's
a big high. It puts a glare on it. And we're probably going to have that for a few. I wonder if we could stick something up over that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just running a little bit bright. Now we've got the whole crew here tonight.
Hey,
so Megan, right here behind me, the 50-year-old, she was. Born quite a while ago, and she was born in a pyramid over on in our Laguna house, and I actually delivered her. Now, tell me, how was it being born in a pyramid? Did you like it?
Well, it was quite interesting.
Yeah, what was your first memory?
My first memory?
Yeah. Did you want a drink? Were you asking for a drink when you first got here, or what was this?
I think I was crying a lot.
No, you didn't seem to cry that much, I didn't think. You were mad because you weren't on the Pleiades anymore, or what?
No. Possibly. I can't really remember. It's a long time ago.
Do you remember living in Laguna Beach, though, right?
Yes, I do.
And you had lots of birds all around you all the time.
Okay, we had about 8 parrots.
Yeah, we had 8 parrots in those days, and some of them flew off when you guys got older.
Yeah.
And you have a funny accent. Are you from Mars?
England. Well, I'm from here, but I live in England.
Oh, you're over there. What are you doing in England over there, anyway?
Working for a fashion company and was studying psychology, taking a break now.
Oh, good. So what do you think of your dad, anyway?
He's very cool.
Yeah, I'm a real nutcase, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot. I can see there's a lot of light coming through the window. We're going to have to fix that. But,
yeah, I think we can sorting it.
Yeah, we're sorting that out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we'll get the light situation fixed up. So Mary, now this is Mary right here. She's the 90-year-old.
Yeah, the old one.
Stand over this way a little bit, and you can block the light a little bit.
I'm the old one.
Yeah, let's see here. You're the old one. Now let me get stand right where the camera's not blasting. So stand where you can right and block the light there.
Okay.
That's a little better, but now we can't see you. Let me. There we go. You almost have it there. Come down here so everybody can see you. Switch chairs with Megan for a minute here.
What's this?
Yeah, we got quite a family. These kids live in England. They don't come over too much. Mary hasn't been here, what, 2 or 3 months?
3 years.
It's been 3 years? Wow.
Yeah, been working.
Been working, huh?
Working hard.
What do you do in England?
I work in a residential home for the elderly. I look after the old folks.
Do you ever shoot him?
No.
You do any Jack Kevorkian likes to get rid of people quick. I heard you. Is that legal over there now? Are you able to get old people and kick them off a little early?
No, we're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to do that?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, that seems to me. Why do you carry that big needle around with you and that big syringe and that little ampule that says, kick them in the butt stuff? What's that for?
That's, I'm saving that.
You save that? So you don't actually hire out to the hospital to the hit girl?
No, not anymore.
You did do hip work for a while, right? How many actual steps did you put in the ground? Any idea?
About 8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Yeah, and then they caught me.
Wow, they caught you. What did they do to you?
Not a lot. I just had to go into hiding for a little while.
You went into hiding? That's why I didn't see you for 3 years.
Yep, I was hiding.
Uh-huh. And then after you were, did you get caught?
No.
Yeah. So did you do any bank robbing while you were over there or not?
No.
No bank robbing?
No.
So but your role model growing up was Jack Kevorkian, right? That was your role model? Him and Donald Trump, or was it Richard Branson?
Richard Branson.
Branson. You like Branson, huh? I heard you fly around on his private jet, both of you guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do you like flying on Richard Branson's flying jet?
It's good.
Is it?
Best airline.
Best airline, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, does Richard come out and serve you cocktails?
Not all the time.
Does he? Yeah, that's what I thought. So what does Mary remember from your first, you were born in the pyramid too, right?
Yep, I was.
So you were 40 years quicker than, 40 years before Megan over here, because she's only 50 and you're 90. So what do you remember? Anything before you were born or nothing before, huh? So
hello?
What do you remember afterwards? Well, you started drinking right away, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you were the, cocktail girl. Is that Steve coming online?
Yeah, how you doing, Fred?
Oh, good. You know, we've got Ustream here, and I've got my 50-year-old and my 90-year-old daughters. They're on camera, and we got two sidekicks here. We got Bella Bird here, and we've got Buddy Bird here. Say hi to Steve Barrett.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Dad tells me you guys are from England?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Mary was just describing before you came online her work. She works. Explain what you do, Mary.
I work in a residential home for the elderly. I look after the old people.
Mm. Yeah, she's a 90-year-old, and she her role model. In case you missed it, her role model was Jack Kevorkian.
Wow.
Yeah, and so as a result of Jack Kevorkian, she. Was putting people away. You know, she had her own little, people were old and they wanted to leave, so she had her own little service like Jack Kevorkian had.
Right.
But then they caught her, and so she had to go in hiding for 3 years so she could get her attorneys to get her off the hook.
Gotcha.
So that's why I didn't see her. She hadn't been here in 3 years because she was in hiding.
Ah.
You see what I mean?
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, as a result of that, she's now back. I guess she, what kind of sentence did they give you? A probation?
Yeah.
Yeah, she got probation. I guess she put 70 people to sleep, you know.
Ah.
She IV dripped them pretty good with morphine, right, and heroin?
Yeah, that and there was something else. I can't quite remember what it's called.
Yeah, she drugged them up pretty good. They were all happy around her.
Yeah.
And you're getting a pyramid, aren't you, Steve? These kids were born in a pyramid, both of them.
Yeah, that's what you were saying the other night when we were talking. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
That had to be very exciting.
Yeah, and not only that, but the kids never have been sick, as I know. Have you kids ever been sick?
Not really. I've only ever had a chest infection. That's it, really.
Yeah, they've never been sick. You know, that's what happens to your genetics when you're born in a pyramid.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Cool, I think, don't you?
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, where are you at today?
Well, I'm in Philadelphia, and I'm with my cousin Sandy, and she's not feeling well, as we were talking about the other night on privately. So I'm just down here giving her a lot of energy and helping her along.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's what we've been doing all day down here. And so we're talking about energy and, you know, how to move it and different things of that nature. So she feels much better. So that's a good
thing. Yeah, I wanted to go over something here for a second.
Yeah.
I've got a phone call from a guy today. He wanted to know the difference in the energy between a synthetic gemstone on a nuclear receptor and a regular gemstone like you have, a natural. What has been your experience with that?
The synthetic is not alive as the real stone. It doesn't feel like a real stone. But
right.
I think the synthetic will work, but the real live stone has more consciousness to it. There is a consciousness to stones, and it does make a difference.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. You know, I like the way you explain it. That's pretty good.
It's like the Master Crystal.
Right.
Master Crystal has consciousness and compassion. And,
right.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I believe that the natural crystal has a lot more feeling than the non natural crystal.
Yeah,
it's a big difference, I think, and I'm very well sure that as small as it is, it still has compassion.
Yeah,
everything in nature does have compassion.
That's true. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, I think it's real important that people realize that. That's why the master crystals are so unique. As we were talking about it before, I can actually see the master crystal firing under the table and putting light in the different chakras and different points that the body needs harmonically. And what happens is that the compassion of the crystal itself is actually becomes warm. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, people feel it in the hearts, they feel it in their feet, they feel it in their tummies. So there's a lot going on with the natural stones, especially with the master crystals, and I suspect that also with the smaller stones, the real stone would be a lot more harmonic than the false stone.
Yeah, now, you've been on our website, right?
Have I been on your website?
You checked it out, right?
Nothing.
You remember, you've been on it, right?
Yes, I've been on your website many times.
Okay, you remember those pictures with the microstar?
Yes.
Where
Megan,
that 50-year-old girl
here,
Megan, she was going invisible, dancing with the microstar. It made her go interdimensionally.
I remember seeing that picture very well of your daughter, and she was becoming invisible right in front of the picture. Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah. So now we can ask her.
Mm-hmm.
Kids like it. I put my my sunglasses on. Anyway, we can ask her right now what it was like to actually go invisible. What was that like, Megan? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was strange.
Could you still see me or not?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
How many years ago was that anyway?
That was about, that's Christmas, 3.5 years ago maybe.
So you were only about, you would have been probably, let's see, how old would you have been?
I think I was 19 or 20.
Yeah, 19 or so. Yeah.
19, yeah.
Yeah, she jumped from 19 to 50, tonight, actually. Yeah, I'm seeing stars right now, but that's normal.
Can I ask Megan a question?
Yeah, go ahead and talk to him a little bit. These are the real, this is the real deal here,
Megan,
go ahead and ask Steve a question for you.
Okay.
When I was in the room, honey, and my room disappeared, and I was in the room with a client. I suspect if somebody walked in, they wouldn't have seen me. But the question to you is, when you started to disappear, did you feel an interdimensional feeling in the room? Did you look around and see almost like a pure white light coming from the room itself?
Kind of hard to remember.
Do you remember that?
Do
you remember?
You know, give him an answer of some kind, But I don't want Steve to put a contract out on you. Does that? People don't get the right answer.
It was interesting. From what I can remember, it was a strange feeling, and I can remember it.
She was doing kind of a belly dance.
Yeah, I was belly dancing at the time,
okay.
So I was dancing to music.
Right.
That was quite loud. So Yeah.
And she went invisible for like 5 or 10 minutes. She was flashing in and out, you know. You can see it in the pictures if you go to the Paradigm, go into the pictures.
Yes.
We were able to capture that on film, which was kind of neat, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
they,
really great.
Yeah, she likes the MicroStar.
Yeah, I'm actually.
Are you using one of those yet?
I've never seen one.
Oh, okay. It's on the website. They look like a small Firestar.
Wait, are you talking about the one that was all lit up and would look like it was pure white light? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, it was by the Master Crystal, and it's like a little tiny Firestar.
Yes,
it was on the Vortex, which I just wrote an article today about that, actually, for a magazine. And I'm not even able to remember the name of the magazine. It's like New View or something. But as I was so busy writing, I was just writing right up to the time of the show. I worked on my book this morning all day.
I think we saw the MicroStar the last time I was out there. It was fired up pretty good.
Yeah. I think we've sold a couple since you were here, actually. And people really like them because they take them into their hotel rooms. They're for traveling people that want to make an environment, you know, in a room where 2,000 people might have slept over the years, and they want to get rid of that energy and have their own energy. So that's what they do. They give you a Pleiadian vibration temple-like energy anywhere you go.
That's incredible. That would be smart.
That was pretty cool. So when the kids played around with them, they were younger, and they were already in the, you know, a Stargate environment.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, you know, they were having a lot of fun. To them, it's just fun. But scientifically, it's very interesting, you know, to say the least.
Yes. Very, very interesting. The I remember the picture of your daughter very well, vividly.
Yeah.
Remember the microscope. Remember the light of the energy of the crystals around her, and they were just as bright as white light.
We had the lasers on. we had the lasers on. People are complaining that your voice isn't coming through. We got the reason that his voice isn't as clear, you guys out there, is because let me turn the volume up a little bit more. We had to patch him in on a second line. Maybe that'll be a little bit better. I turned the volume up here a little.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear you better now. You're on your cell phone, right?
I'm sorry about that.
But that's okay. Yeah, you're better now. Plus, I've been able to jack the volume up on the transmitting console here.
Good. That's good to crank it up. I remember in my room when I was doing that energy work, when the room disappeared, the only thing that I remember was the pure white light that was coming through the walls, and the projectors themselves, all I could see were the two quartz stones that were lit up in the projectors. That's all that I saw in the room. That and the white light from the outside of the room. The room was actually gone. And the two stones were just firing at a tremendous rate, very, very powerful. And it was quite interesting. I remember in the Torah, the Bible, where it talked about the prophets seeing light and the rooms, and what they were looking at was the mountains skipping like rams. And what I was looking at was the door that was actually becoming more like a ram. In other words, everything was misshaped. Everything became misshaped, and then everything left. Everything was gone. The only thing that was there were the two stones in the projectors and the white light that was in all four walls. I'll never forget that, Fred.
Yeah, I remember. We talked about it after that on the show.
Yeah. So those projectors really do work. I mean, they are very, very powerful. And I think now I've got four of them. So maybe the four projectors firing simultaneously made the room disappear. Now, I didn't have the Master Crystal at that particular point. But
we didn't have any projectors back then, I don't think. I don't remember, though, to be honest with you.
I had four, right. Your daughter didn't, but I did.
Yeah.
And I think that they were born with that, so that's a whole different point of issue. your children are very lucky to have a father that really knows what he's doing with energy, but the projectors actually made the room disappear, and myself and the client was laying on the table. So whatever you did, you hit it right on the button.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, it was interesting when Megan was doing that with that with the MicroStar. That was the beginning of that kind of energy. Later on, when we got the projectors added, then Martin Sargent came over. He's all over YouTube. He's done a lot of shows for different networks. He's a comedy talk show host. When he projected out, he was out of his body for 15 minutes solid.
Right.
And he couldn't even. He was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a guy that doesn't really, you know, he's not what you call a new age person, you know. He's more into, you know, being a really good stand-up comedian and hosting a wild show.
Right,
but he went out anyway. His producer wanted to go, but he was a smoker and he was a little overweight. And what happens is when they're in this system, when they're in the system, the heart rate goes up quite a bit and the blood pressure goes up, and then what happens is when they go into trance or wherever they go into another dimension, then their heart rate drops way below normal. And that can be very dangerous for people that have, you know, any health issues. So we have to kind of screen people. We had Xenia Seberg from Lex, the star of Lex, go out in there. And she was out for about an hour, and she couldn't get back in her body. I had another physician there at the time that had to do some revival techniques to get her back because she went into a coma, and that's dangerous. So I mean, you know, this energy, if you're not, you know, when you start playing around with it on a vortex like we have over there in Laguna Beach, using this technology at a focal point, it is very powerful. You know, for the average person, it's fine, but if you have heart issues, I don't recommend it. And it's fine if you have a heart issue and you wear a receptor for that, because that will normalize your heart rate, but not this high-powered start state stuff. You know, that's like another level.
Well, I think the energies with the projectors, if you do it correctly, I don't think it's going to bother you that much, because I believe that the projectors will protect you.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I mean, I came back, and I have heart issues, and I didn't have a problem at all for it. So I'm pretty well sure that the projectors take care of you very well. And I've
they probably do. But we were running, realize that we were running more than projectors here. We're running some, not just milliwatts, but wattage in lasers here.
I mean, yes.
It's the amount of radio frequency energy, RF radiation coming off a laser. It's very powerful. I mean, a 1 watt laser kicks some butt, you know?
Yeah.
People are used to these 5 milliwatts, or, you know, 1/5,000 of a watt laser pointers, which is the legal limit. And
right.
You got 5,000 times that much power, and you got more than one laser, that does speed things up a bit.
Well, you know, when I was at your home in Laguna Beach, and you put on that show with all your crystals, and everything was firing, and it was absolutely gorgeous. I'm still amazed at the power that was coming out of those crystals and the lasers. I mean, it was just absolutely, it was a show. It was an absolute show. I've never seen anything like that before.
Well, these guys, Megan and Mary, they how many laser light shows did you guys see over the years you lived there?
A lot.
They saw a laser light show sometimes every single night. I turned the lasers on.
Yeah.
I don't know what affected them somehow. What happened to you kids anyway?
I don't know.
Did it mess you up or what?
Yeah.
We didn't have a call.
With Mary, you know, her idea was Jack Kevorkian. You know, that tells you something. And Megan's a psych major now in college, so.
Okay.
I think she's trying to figure out what happened. Is that why you're a psych major, or are you just plain psycho?
I'm plain psycho.
Yeah, these kids are pretty crazy. She's got some really weird tattoos here and there on her body.
Dr. Fred?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Wes from Florida.
How's Wes doing in Florida?
I'm doing great. I had to come on because this is a historic show with your daughters there behind you. I think it's neat.
Yeah, can you see them okay?
I'm on the Ustream, and yes, I can see them. They're beautiful and got that exotic accent.
Yeah, they do. They
but
have
I'm
a bunch of English pills.
English.
Don't worry, girls. I do that to my son too. But you girls, you upstaged me because I had my son on your dad's show a while back. My son is 11, and he asked your dad some interesting questions. But I have one. You were talking a little bit earlier, Dr. Fred and Steve, about lasers, and I was just wondering about the interaction between lasers and crystals, because I don't think a lot, you said a lot about it that I've heard, and I don't know if the lasers energize the crystals, or if they, you know, and there's actually energy transferred from one to the other, or if it's just exciting the crystals, or how that works.
Yeah, I'll let Steve go first, and then I'll give a scientific explanation, but let Steve do it, his spiritual side first.
Well, got a laser that Fred sold me, and I fire it on my master crystal once in a while, and it'll turn the crystal completely red, and the crystal takes on a form of red. In other words, when it changes to red. It's not white anymore, and I believe that what happens is that the crystal becomes more uniform in terms of energy. In other words, it takes on the form of the redness, and whatever energy the red does, that's what the crystal will do. So I believe that putting more energy into the crystal is actually firing more energy into the room, and I think it actually does work. I mean, I have a lot of fun with my laser when I use it. It does work. So I presume that what happens is that the laser is actually firing that energy into the crystal. The crystal is reacting to that kind of light. We have to remember that the crystal is very harmonic, and it makes no judgments. It doesn't comprehend any kind of negative energy or takes on any kind of that kind of energy. So anytime you're using something that has that kind of momentum, the crystal itself becomes very happy. Because it's what you're doing is that you're putting love into the crystal. You're not hurting the crystal. Do you follow what I'm saying? The crystal looks at it as love.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when you turn the laser off, does that effect last?
Does that effect less?
Yes, the effect of, you know, that there's more energy and, you know, you feel, you know, various things from it.
And the crystal is affected only when you turn on the laser at that particular point. In other words, you're firing more energy into the crystal, but the crystal doesn't mind it one way or the other. It's us that mind it. In other words, the crystal is having a good time with the laser. It's us that put things into the crystal that we don't need to. In other words, if we learn to comprehend everything and let go, the energy in the crystal will become more unique for you rather than to think which one is becoming more powerful, either the laser or the crystal. At that particular point, it doesn't matter. Only the beautifulness of the crystal. You have to look at it in a different kind of dimension, in a different kind of light. In other words, you let it go and just enjoy the light for what it is.
That's interesting. Well, yeah, I'm, you know, not admittedly the most spiritual guy, but that's an interesting explanation. Dr. Fred, I see your girls back there, and I liken them to my son when I let him watch a show a few minutes. They're just looking now and then and wondering, what's going on? They're talking about crystals. it's kind of funny. But anyway, that was interesting, Steve.
Thank you. From a scientific standpoint, what happens is The crystal is a perfect synthesis of spirit and matter in zero time. So we have the Akashic record aspect of it constantly growing. It grows a tenth of a percent of its weight every 10 years. So then what happens is when you add the laser to it, it gets that red haze if it's a red laser around it, and that's because the photon is emitting quantumly from the electron, the photon being the coherent beam of light coming from the laser, and it's coming right off the astral plane. So that's the feeding energy of the crystal. So what happens is then, amplifies your meditation energy into the astral plane. And in the case of Megan, we had that all going on, and when she was dancing with the microstar, it just took her, she crossed fields in the room. Even though she was in the room, she was in a separate side continuum, and therefore she was not being reflective of light, per se. It was in the room, the ambient light in the room, so she no longer was seen because the light was going through where she was. She was in a different frame of time. So that's some of the stuff that we've seen, you know, with crystals. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on. When you start playing around with the 402 nanometer, which is the ultraviolet, that's a very powerful meditation. And then you get into the green, that's a powerful chakra stimulating system from the thyroid gland. And you get into red, it's a pituitary stimulating from the head chakra. So it all has different effects.
So do you think people who, I noticed you have a lot of lasers up there, and I've been kind of curious, you know, hey, what do these things do? I was very hesitant to even buy a receptor. And then after I wore it a week, first of all, I couldn't sleep right away. And but after I wore it a week, I realized, hey, this is, you know, this amazing. And I was kind of afraid to think about buying a projector, but, you know,
no,
I got both of them now.
You don't have one. You don't have one yet?
No, I do. No, I actually do.
Good.
But initially, I mean, I was thinking if the receptor is like this, what's the projector going to do? It is a little bit, you know, fear of the unknown. But so now I'm looking at these lasers you have, and just wondering how I can experiment with those and
Steve, tell them about when you added lasers to your system.
Yeah, what happens is that when you start using lasers and you're doing that kind of energy, which just increases like 10,000-fold, the only thing I can tell you is let go. Enjoy what you're seeing, because the crystal is enjoying that laser. You should be doing the same thing. In other words, allow yourself to enjoy what you're seeing and taking it in. I mean, it's just wonderful to see. So the laser itself is firing that beautiful energy, and it's love. I mean, the crystal is taking it in as love, and we should be doing the same thing. Do you follow what I'm saying to you?
Sure. So when you practice this at your place, are you shooting the laser in your master crystal? Is that how you practice, or?
I usually do that by myself. I look at it as I take things in a different dimensional feeling for myself. In other words, what I'm doing is that I'm firing for me. I'm in love with the laser. I'm in love with the crystal, and I'm just in love with everything that's happening in the room. So I'm looking at love. I'm not looking at if I'm afraid of it or anything of that nature. You need to allow yourself to feel what you're feeling and just let it happen. In other words, the fear is something that we put into ourselves. It's not something that the laser does or the crystal does. So enjoy it for what it is. Do you follow what I'm saying to you?
Sure. Well, I was kind of just thinking, hey, what kind of little laser system could I get? You know, I don't think I can get, you know, like a 50-pound crystal because, you know, I really don't have a place to put it. I've got a big house, but there's no place to really put it. And so I was kind of wondering how to get my first
He's got some beautiful, I think they're like a disco laser, isn't it, Fred?
Yeah, I've got different ones. Out here at this house here, I don't have any big lasers yet. I've got smaller ones in there. I'll eventually add the big ones. I'd go up to about 30, 40 milliwatts in green, which isn't a bad size. But you can start off with, we've got lasers for under $100 to start with. The red ones and the green ones are like $150, $250, somewhere in there. Start off with a red and green one. They're very inexpensive and they're very small.
And then what kind of crystal would you match with it? Does it matter if it's amethyst or
Well, I'd use quartz. If you have any crystals now?
No, I don't. I'm gonna buy, you know, some crystals eventually. I'll get a master. But see, for me, the thing is, it's you know, just where to put it and all that. So
yeah, we've got some inexpensive crystals. If you want to start off with some smaller stuff, we can sell you some. Oh, I've got some that are probably 8 inches long here that are 4 or 5, 6 inches in diameter, about fist size, but long. You could use that to play with to get the feel for the energy, you know.
That sounds like fun. I mean,
yeah.
That'd be a neat little thing to just bundle up so, you know, people can just feel like it's more accessible and buy those kind of systems. And so are those crystals the one you're speaking about? Are those? Does it matter if it's from the North or South Pole? What's the difference when you're shooting a laser in the ones from the North or the South Pole? Have you done that, Steve? Or... Do you know what would happen? I'm just curious.
I always use Arkansas because it has the healing. You know, the body heals itself in their presence a lot faster.
Neat.
And that's what's really important is the healing aspect. Psychic stuff is neat, but it doesn't serve a purpose at first. And it's the wrong place to start off with. Because it can affect you in a negative, well, not a negative way, but a way that you won't really enjoy it as much, whereas these aren't like that at all.
Did we lose Steve?
No, Steve's there, aren't you, Steve?
Steve?
Yeah, I'm right here. I think the best thing to do is probably buy a crystal from Fred, something that's they're filled with love, you see. And all you have to do is touch the crystal with compassion, and that crystal is yours. Then you can laser on it, you can put whatever you want to do on a crystal, but that crystal will become you. You follow what I'm saying? It'll give you love, it'll give you compassion. And in return, without you even knowing it, your own psyche will do the same thing back to the crystal, if you allow it to be. So in other words, your best bet is to get something that's really good.
Probably, just take it down.
Like Fred has. Fred's got these crystals from Arkansas, and they're really great. I only buy my crystals from Fred. I don't buy a crystal from anywhere else. I usually get them from Fred because his stuff is...
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. I kind of missed having a bunch of them around. We got in Laguna Beach, we have the big vortex set up over there, and we're leaving that intact. I didn't want to move that over here because that goes with that temple that we have over there where we keep all that stuff. So it's generating over there right now as we speak. We have a different operation over here in the mountains here in our little retreat. So we do different things here than we do over there. They're a different kind of energy, but they're both very spiritual. And we have crystals in both places, obviously, you know.
Yes. But what you do is that you pick up the crystal, you hold on to it, you give the crystal love, compassion, harmony. It becomes you. It becomes who you are. And the crystal will actually work with you. And most people don't know that. Crystals are very much alive. Very much alive. And that will help you tremendously. To know that is to know, you know, that the crystals will do you a lot of good.
Well,
you follow what I'm saying?
Good to me. I'm not, you know, the most spiritual guy around. It's something, you know, that I wanted to develop. But, you know, these objective things. I mean, the things you feel with, like, the receptor, the projector, those things are very strong, and I just was wondering, you know, what it felt like with the laser and the crystal combo.
How long have you been wearing your nuclear receptor?
Since April last year.
April of 2008?
About a year now, yeah.
Yeah.
You might be ready for a projector.
No, I've got a projector, but, Steve, I had a question. Like I
do you have a standalone or one you wear around your neck?
No, just the neck.
Yeah, the standalone's a whole other world. That's where the real power starts coming in when you have that.
Are you going to redesign those with all the fine etchings and things that you put on the new ones?
Not for a while yet. The big ones, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, the big ones are going to stay the same. We've got a lot of money invested in them already. Until we recover some of that original investment and tooling, we're pretty much powerless to do anything about them, and they're working just fine right now.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, one last question I have for you guys. I've got just the zircon right now on both of them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how that works. I'm totally happy with what's going on now. They haven't stopped changing me as far as I know. I mean, I just see different things all the time, and I can't attribute everything to them, but it's just like when I go to give blood, and I give blood a lot. This last time I went, and it was about 6 months after the last. I waited a little long, and when they did that little drop of blood to check for the iron, this is the first time they dropped the blood in a little vial, and that drop of blood just went down like a rock. It's never done that. It's always kind of just hung there at the top. And the lady commented that, wow, you got, your iron's fine. And, I've been, up until a few months after I started wearing the receptor, I've been, anemic. My whole family, everybody in my family has been anemic. Every time, through the years, dozens of years, I've always been anemic. And so it's just nothing else changed that I know of. So, I think that the zircons are working fine, but what do you think about changing them?
I wouldn't mess with it on your case, because zircon, the only way you can go is to a diamond,
Oh, I see.
That would be the only change. You can't go down in frequency once you reach the crown chakra. Your body's used to that now.
Well, man, I'm just loving these things. Anybody that's sitting on a fence as far as getting them, and they're really awesome. I can't say that that it's going to, like, knock you over. I mean, you have to be a little bit sensitive and just know yourself, be in tune with your body. But I tell you, there's no doubt it's working for me. And I played with pyramids even when I was in high school, just with one pyramid, and I solidified an egg. I mean, the egg didn't rot out inside the pyramid, and I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. So I've always had that curiosity. Then when I came upon your show, Dr. Fred, I just thought I would go ahead and try it, and I'm glad I did. It's awesome.
Yeah, when you play around with the pyramids and the egg, what happens is the pyramid only allows aerobic bacteria in your body. That's oxygen sustaining bacteria. And so, therefore, anaerobic bacteria is what causes decay. And the pyramid removes all the anaerobic or decay stuff from that. It's good for your teeth, for example, because they're anaerobic bacteria are in the teeth most of the time, and they cause decay. The pyramid neutralizes that stuff. So when you put 144 of them in a nuclear receptor and project it into your body, you got quite a bit of science working for you then.
Oh, no, I actually noticed that. No, before I read the little pamphlet on the receptor, I noticed the things that were actually in the pamphlet. I mean, and I was just stunned. I'm like, wow, I'm not going crazy. It's actually, these same things that I'm reading about actually happen a little on me. So,
yeah.
Well,
that's amazing. Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's all good. That's the nice thing about it, because remember, the reason it works so well with iron is the fact that the hemoglobin is four iron atoms in an octahedral shape. And when you're anemic, that means you have shape distortion of your hemes in your red blood cell. And the pyramid will resonate that back to its normal shape, and therefore it will solidify into a solid heme again, which makes, iron in your blood. It's really interesting for women in there, having that time of month when women lose a lot of their body fluid. It really does help them with iron. And you can amplify it not by taking iron, but adding vitamin E.
Really?
Yeah.
Is synthetic kind of like okay, or is it just bad?
No, you got to use natural vitamin E.
Yeah, I've been trying for like 2 months to get myself together and buy some of your stuff. Vitamins, I just haven't had a chance.
You need to get vitamins.
Yeah. One thing I want to ask you, one last thing, you guys, I'm trying to get my wife so that she would wear these and, you know, help her heal up some. That time of the month for her is pretty strong, and you know, her nerves are kind of bad during that time, you know, and she's maybe a little anemic herself. Steve, what do you think might be good for her to for a stone once I can persuade her to wear them?
Well, I think the when women are in their moon time, I think it's really important. If you're going to buy any stone, I would buy a blue sapphire. Blue sapphire is heart, and it's so important to get in touch with that. And that'll the heart actually opens up everything else in the body. So once you get in touch with that kind of energy, that'll open everything else up for her.
Thank
Should
you
really
so much. Hey, guys, I know it's getting late, but...
we got a couple minutes, and we're out of here.
Exactly. Girls, thanks for hanging around with your dad. It was real neat seeing you guys behind and having that partial family portrait. And
we were having some fun tonight.
Exactly.
They've been wanting to get on the airwaves for a while with me.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Especially
so cool.
Mary, you know. She wanted to tell her Jack Kevorkian story.
I think you had some people going for a little while until she started laughing finally.
Yeah. Well, she does actually work in a home for elderly. She does
exactly.
Throw that, those IV drips around like it's candy to them people, you know.
Good night, all.
Like to give the guys a good buzz, you know.
Oh, of course. Good night, you guys. I'll talk to you later on.
Okay.
Bye.
So anyway, Steve,
Bye.
You had fun tonight, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm glad
there
you're
is
able
a...
to make it to the airwaves with us.
Thank you so much.
You ride your hot rod car up there or what?
Yes, I did. It was really... My cousin heard me about two blocks away before
I
pulled up in the house. Yeah.
Did you do any drag racing?
No, I didn't drag race anything today. Usually I run into a Z06, but I didn't see anything today, so.
Nothing, huh? What do you
Not
do with
really.
The Z06s?
Usually they sort of back off. Their windows start shaking a little bit, and they get a little afraid.
So you don't you don't head for the nearest garage and hide from them then?
No, I don't hide from anything, especially a Z06.
Oh, okay.
This thing'll chew them up.
Yeah, put your phone number out there because we got a lot of new listeners over on the Ustream side.
Oh, terrific! My phone number is 585-746-8321, and I can be reached tomorrow night at the Steve Barish Healing Hour, and I'm going to make the program for my cousin tomorrow night. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'll be good. Well, we better get out of here because we're going to be in trouble if we don't, because we're going to be what you call over time, and then they just abruptly cut us off, you know.
Yeah.
I don't like that abrupt. You know, you ever get cut off too fast, it really is painful, you know.
Yes,
so we're going to go out with some music today from Andromeda with Love with Holly Penfield singing one of the songs we wrote together. Actually, she wrote the words. I did the arrangements. Sea of Love.
Yeah.
Kids want to dance?
That's
how we do it. It's what we do here.